And I want to speak this morning, I'll kind of be cognizant of the time there. I want to speak this morning from John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is the story of the blind man, the blind beggar. And here's a story of an individual who Jesus just passed by, and his disciples asked him, well, teacher, first of all, they referred to Jesus as teacher or rabbi, which means teacher or also means a great one, but it's mostly referred to teachers, said to him, they asked him, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now, what kind of question is that? Here's this blind man, and he asked, who has sinned? Well, in those days, if someone was born with a birth defect like that, they would assume, and certainly the Jews and the Pharisees believe this, that either this person had sinned in the womb, so there was something like prenatal sin, and they have some scripture to back that up, or this man's parents sinned. And so it was not an unusual question. Let's read some of the verses there. John chapter 9 and verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And again, as I said, this would have been a very normal question. What happened? Was it this person's fault or his parents' fault? Jesus says in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened, they demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. Now, I have never been blind, although at one point, it was 1987, I was the assistant pastor in the Ridgewood Church, I decided, had been planning for about a year and a half, that I would take a group of young people, I was working with the youth, I would take youth on a missions trip. And it hadn't been done in the conference, and I got the idea from another youth pastor, he was from Saskatchewan actually, and he said, have you ever thought of that, taking youth on a mission trip? And I said, no. And then I began to think about it and pray about it. So for about a year and a half, I was working on this project, and we decided, 19 youth and 4 leaders, we would go to Mexico, rented 2 vans. We would go there, visit the missionaries, and we would give some programs. We also decided we'd go back into the mountains and visit the Tarahumara Indians. And it was just a great 3 weeks. Well, as we were going down, some of the leaders suggested, well, let's stop at Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. Anybody been there? Okay, good, yeah. Quite an incredible cave. You come to the mouth of the cave and you see all these seats there and you wonder, well, do people just come there and look at this hole? No. Apparently in the evening, about half a billion bats, 500,000 bats come out of there and they fly in your hair. No, they don't. Just kidding. And anyway, so you're watching, we went into this cave, but about a halfway through, the guide said, I'm going to turn off the lights. I don't know if they did that. I'm going to turn off the lights. Well, I've never experienced darkness like that. It was as if you're blind. You couldn't see anything. It was almost a numbing feeling, black. And it may be a little bit like this blind man. He's blind. He hasn't been able to see at all. Jesus comes along, and he heals him, gives him sight. Now, I want to look at 4 groups. There's not only the blind man. We're going to talk about the journey of this blind man, but also look at the different people who are involved in this story. And I first of all looked at the disciples. as they are walking with Jesus, they walk past this blind man and they say, Rabbi, who sinned? And they've been with Jesus. They have seen him turn water into wine in chapter 2 of John. They have seen him feed the 5,000 in John chapter 6. They've heard his teachings, and they say they know, they assume he would know the answer. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither have sinned, but it's because, the reason for it is that God would be glorified. So here we see the disciples. They're walking with Jesus. They call him teacher. They've accepted his teaching, and they're following him. But there's other people in the story as we go on in John chapter 9. We see the Pharisees. And let's read from verses 13 through 17 and then 24 and on. The Pharisees, they brought the Pharisees to the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received a sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Let's go down to verse 24 now. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've already told you, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that Moses, God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And so we see the Pharisees here. Some were saying that he could not come from God because he didn't keep the Sabbath. Godly people only do certain things on the Sabbath, and healing isn't one of those. Others were wondering how a sinner could do miracles. They say in verse 24, we know this man is a sinner. They assume his sin, but the Pharisees didn't understand who Jesus was. They heard his teachings and saw his miracles, but responded differently than Jesus' disciples. They refused to acknowledge him for who he really was and therefore didn't follow him. We have people like that today. They see evidence of Jesus all around them, but still refuse to follow him. The disciples call him teacher. The Pharisees say this man couldn't have come from God. But what about his parents? Turn with me again to that chapter, and we'll look at verses 18 through 23. Verses 18 through 23, and we'll see how his parents responded to this. Verse 18, the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. And so we see here then how the parents respond to this question. They refused to even consider that Jesus was the Christ because they were afraid of the Jews. They acknowledged that their son had been blind from birth and now could see, but they refused to acknowledge the one who had healed him. And as far as we know, it's a tragic thing to say, as far as we know, they died in their sin, perhaps later on, their son was able to lead his parents to Jesus. John doesn't record this. Here's the point here. They missed an opportunity to find out more about Jesus, but for fear of the Jews, they shut him out. One might have thought that they had suffered for their son's blindness, as they would have considered it their fault. Even these feelings of guilt did not bring them to Jesus. Let's look at the blind man now. And let's look at his journey and understanding who Jesus is and was. You go back to verse 11, and as the disciples, he's healed him, and he says there in verse 11, "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. Verse 11, he replied, "The man they call Jesus." The man they call Jesus. Put yourself in the position of this man for a moment. Blind from birth. It's believed that it is either his fault or the fault of his parents. Must have produced some guilt in him as well as his parents. Jesus says that neither this man or his parents sinned, but so that God's glory could be revealed in his life. Did the blind man hear this explanation? We're not sure. But Jesus heals a man. He can see. Everybody questions whether he is really the blind man. And he says that he is. And then ask him, "Well, who healed you?" And he says, "This man called Jesus." This man called Jesus. But we go on to verse 17. So that's his first introduction to Jesus. This man called Jesus. You go into verse 17, and you see now he is saying, not this man called Jesus, but he is saying this prophet. Notice what it says there in verse 17. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." Now, prophets in the Old Testament, some of the prophets, such as Moses, Elijah, and Elisha, did perform miracles. And the Jewish people would look upon their prophets as men of God who could do wonderful things by the power of God. The Pharisees didn't want to acknowledge this. Jesus is also called a prophet in John chapter 4, where he is with a Samaritan woman. But again, notice the progression. First of all, this man called Jesus, now a prophet. But the journey continues. The journey continues, and we'll go on to verse 28. Let's read from verse 28 to 33. "Then they hurled insults at him and said, 'You are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from.' The man answered, 'Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.' To this they replied, 'You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out." Notice the third, what should I say, acknowledgement, or the third title that he gives. This man from God. First of all, this man called Jesus, prophet. Now he acknowledges that this man from God. And we admire the boldness of this man. Excuse me, he's not afraid to challenge the Pharisees. In fact, in verse 27, he almost taunts them. "Do you want to become his disciples too?" It seemed incredible to this man that the Pharisees would not know that Jesus, or this Jesus who had opened his eyes. How could anyone except someone from God open people's eyes, was his understanding. Again, notice the progression. Well, we need to keep going here. Verse 35, and we'll see the last part of his journey. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, and here's where it is. The man said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped him. I'll read the rest of the verse as well. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt is removed. Jesus begins this section by saying he is the Son of Man. And the other thing, that really neat thing that I see here, is the Pharisees throw him out of the temple, but who is there? Who finds him? Who looks for him? Jesus. Jesus looks for him and says to him and talks to him. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. In fact, he does it in all four Gospels. It was an expression always used by Jesus himself. Some scholars believe that it was a term used to conceal the Messiahship of Christ. We're not sure what the man understood by that term, but we do know that this man took a step of faith and referred to Jesus as Lord. He has now entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He was now a believer. He has received both physical sight and now spiritual sight. His understanding of Jesus had grown to the point where he now acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And this influenced his response to Christ's claim on his life. He worshiped Jesus. We never meet this blind man again. We assume that he continued to follow Jesus and was a witness for Christ. Hopefully, he was able to win his fearful parents to the Lord. But here's the thing. His understanding of Jesus and his journey with Jesus progressed to the point where he became a disciple of Christ. Question to us is this. Who do we understand Jesus Christ to be? If we understand Jesus to be the Christ and then respond to him as Lord, our lives will reflect that. For 51 years, Bob Edens was blind. Couldn't see a thing. His world was a black hall of sounds and smells. He felt his way through 5 decades of darkness, and then he could see. A skilled surgeon performed a complicated operation, and for the first time, Bob had sight, and he found it overwhelming. I never would have dreamed that yellow is so yellow. He exclaimed, I don't have the words. I'm amazed by yellow. But red, he said, is my favorite color. I just can't believe red. And then he went on to say other things. I can see the shape of the moon, and I like nothing better than seeing a jet plane flying across the sky, leaving a vapor trail. And of course, sunrises and sunsets, and you have them here. Incredible. And at night, I look at the stars in the sky and the flashing light. You could never know how wonderful everything is. Physical sight is incredible, but spiritual sight even more. 1993, I was working in my office and got a call, in this gruff voice, and this guy says to me, how would you like to go to Russia? And my first thought was, well, wouldn't everybody like to go to Russia? And I went back. For some of you hockey fans, Russia was, you remember that, some of the older people will remember the 72 hockey series. And that was Russia. But in 1991, the Lord really opened the doors. And this person was involved in camp ministry, had been a camp director just north of Winnipeg for 25 years. And he got a call saying, how about coming to the former Soviet Union and starting a Christian camp ministry? So I said, okay, can I think and pray about it for several weeks? And he asked me to come and speak at several teen camps and a family camp. And I said, well, can I think about it for several weeks? No, he said, I'm leaving tomorrow at noon and I need to know before that. Okay, So I did what all good husbands do. I went home and talked to the boss, my wife. No, I'm just kidding. She's a great boss. I'm gonna call it that. And she said, sure. We had a church ministers at Ridgewood. We had a church ministers meeting. I was still in the ministerial, although I was at Providence already, or Winnipeg Bible College at the time. And talked to them, and they said, sure, if you feel the Lord, you know, leading you in that way. Next morning, I went and talked to the people at the school, at the college, and they said, sure. So I didn't leave then. I left about 5 weeks later and spent 5.5 weeks in the former Soviet Union or Russia. Talking about spiritual sight, here it was a country that was under atheism and communism. These camps, they had thousands. Stalin built thousands of these communist youth camps in the 50s and 60s, where they would bring out young people, children, bring them out there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and indoctrinate them in communism and atheism. Well, now it's changed. Now we used the camp in Anapa, right on the Black Sea. We used it for, I don't know how many, some years. The same camp that was used, the communists used, we were using it for the gospel. And people were getting there. People were receiving their spiritual sight. But you know what? I've also been back to Ukraine about 5 times, country of Georgia. And even as I bring this to a close, please pray for the Christians in Ukraine. They are suffering. The Christians are really being persecuted. Got lots of friends there. But God is continuing to do his work. Spiritual sight or physical sight was incredible for this guy, and even as this Bob Eden's here. But spiritual sight is even more incredible. And people are coming to know the Lord in these days there right now. And I've been pretty close to some of these. Donetsk, I wasn't that far away from there. Christians are coming together. Other denominations are coming together. They're praying. They're saying it's only God that's going to bring us through this. Just reading in a paper this morning at the Schellenbergs, just in October, the Decision magazine, reading about the situation there. And people, God is doing an incredible work. People are coming to know the Lord. So as we reflect on this, and as we reflect on our journey, hopefully our understanding of Jesus has grown and matured, and that we can continue to say, as that former blind man, Lord, I believe, and then do what he did, worship Jesus. May God help us, and God bless you.